Blog Talk Radio.
Come shine your light, open your heart, show us your gift that sets you apart. When you believe, then you can see that you are the star of your own destiny.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. My name is Lynn, and I'm your host for the show. Just wanted to let you guys know I'm going to be taking a little bit of a vacation and a break from some normal activities, and the show is going to be one of them. So I will not be here after today anymore in the month of August, but I will be back on September 7th with Karen Wrigley when we do our monthly animal communications and channeling. So we hope that you'll join us then. And in the meantime, we hope that you enjoy the remainder of August and have a great time at whatever you're doing. Just wanted to also let you know that Karen Wrigley has been doing some speaking engagements, and she was most recently in North Carolina, so I hope that you're able to check out her website, KarenWrigley.com, and keep up with some of the exciting things that she's doing, because she's really doing some great work with the animal communications there. So with that, I'd like to welcome our guest today. Our guest is Patricia Cotto-Robles, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. Patricia is the co-founder and president of New Age Study of Humanity's Purpose Incorporated. She is multifaceted. She's a teacher and internationally known speaker around the world, and she's here today to talk to us about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that's the upcoming changes that are going on the planet today. So, Patricia, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you, Lynn. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. Now, I generally introduce my guests based on how I know them, and anybody that's listened to the show is familiar with that. And I generally only know you through some emails and stuff. Someone sent me your information, and I started reading it and really enjoyed it and invited you to the show. So if you don't mind letting us know how you got to doing the work that you're doing and what all you're involved with now, that would be perfect.
Well, thank you. Actually, this is really a critical time in the evolution of this planet, and I personally understand from my inner knowing and from the things that I've been researching that every single person that's in the physical plane at this time has been prepared for a very long time to fulfill this facet of the divine plan. And we've all gone through all kinds of experiences as a catalyst to help wake us up and help remind us of who we are and why we're here. And for myself personally, I went through a challenging life experience, and I think into a dysfunctional family, and I think that's probably been a carbon copy for most people. I think we kind of use pain as our motivator. And I was in a situation where I felt like there was so much pain and suffering on this planet, and I just was totally confused about that. So I don't consider myself a channel or a psychic. I don't have extra, you know, powers or supernatural extrasensory perception or anything like this. I consider myself an ordinary human being that has just gone into my heart and persistently asked God why there's so much pain and suffering in the world, and then took the time to listen for the answers. And this is available to each and every one of us. We were never supposed to lose the ability to communicate with the higher realms of truth. And so once I did that, and for a period of time, what happens is the floodgates of heaven open. And this is such a critical time that the beings of light in the realms of illumined truth, the beings that we refer to as the company of heaven, have literally come through the veil to meet us halfway. And these beings of light communicate freely with us through open heart and mind telepathic communication. There are sisters and brothers that have just evolved to a higher level of evolution, and they consist of all of the magnificent beings associated with the various world religions, with ascended masters, all of the angelic kingdom, with cosmic beings, galactic beings, solar logos, legions of light, back to the heart of our omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent Father, Mother, God, the cosmic I am, all that is. And every single one of these beings are sons and daughters of God, just like you and I are and every other human being in the physical plane is. The difference is that we're going through our learning experiences and we're the equivalent of kindergarten students compared to them being college professors. And we were always supposed to have that guidance from the higher realms. And it was when we fell into denser frequencies through our own free will choice and truly the misuse of our creative faculties of thought and feeling that we lost the awareness of that. So now what's happening is we are reversing the adverse effects of our fall. We're beginning to remember, to awaken and remember who we are, which is sons and daughters of God. We're not this fragmented, fear-based consciousness that we've referred to as our human ego, but rather we are magnificent sons and daughters of God, and truthfully, we are one with that all-encompassing presence, and all that our Father, Mother, God has is ours. So we truly are powerful beyond our knowing. And what's happening now is we are in the process of moving forward to the next octave of our evolutionary process. And because of our fall, we had fallen into such a dense frequency of separation and duality that we lost awareness of all of that. So now we are being given more assistance than ever before in the history of time. And we are in the midst of a very unique experiment. Never has a planet that's fallen this far into separation and duality been given an opportunity to move forward this quickly in the light. So we are in the midst of the greatest shift of consciousness that has ever occurred in any system of worlds. And every single person in the physical plane is here because we have been prepared to assist the Earth in all her life forward in the light in this process. So that's what's happening now. And as far as myself goes, I just am one with everybody else on this planet that's going through this process and awakening. And the wonderful thing about what's happening now is that there is this massive shift of consciousness and awakening taking place. So every single day, there are billions of souls on this planet that in one way or another turn their attention to a higher power and ask for divine intervention in their life, in their whatever their understanding is about that higher power. And those prayers are always heard, and they're always answered. So the truth is, the reason things look so horrific at this moment when we turn on the news and observe the terrible things taking place all over the planet is the reason this is happening is because there is no separation. All life is interrelated, interconnected, and interdependent. So we can't just say cancel, and eliminate the past. What is happening is that we are invoking the light of God. The light of God is flowing through our heart flames into the physical plane of Earth, and it is pushing to the surface all of our human miscreations that conflict with the light of God. So all of the maladies that we have created, war, poverty, disease, corruption, hatred, prejudice, all of those human miscreations are being pushed to the surface to be transmuted back into light. And so what's happening is that we easily see all of this garbage being pushed to the surface through our life experiences. What we don't see as easily is the incredible light that's pushing it to the surface. So this is specifically why the beings of light have come through the veil to meet us halfway. And the divine intent of all of their celestial sharings is not to dispute our present belief system and to tell us what we believe is wrong. They don't ever want us to accept anything as truth just because somebody's told them it's true. But they want us to take the information into our hearts, to sift and sort through it, to see what resonates for us, and to give us greater clarity and understanding so that we can see the bigger picture. This moment is truly the time that has been referred to in the Bible and other spiritual scriptures as the time of screaming and gnashing of teeth because of this phenomenon that we see the negativity coming to the surface. We don't see the light that's pushing it to the surface. So for the mass consciousness of humanity, people feel like the earth is going to hell in a handbasket and that we're destroying the earth, when actually nothing could be further from the truth. The reason the garbage is coming up at such an accelerated pace is because of the incredible light flowing through awakening humanity. Our Father, Mother, God, and the company of heaven would never be allowing this accelerated purging to take place if it was going to cause more harm than good. So I'll take a break there for a minute, Lynn, and see if you have any questions or anything you want to add to that.
Well, I think that that's a relief to hear that, especially, I don't read the newspaper. I learned a long time ago that engaging in the news or listening to the news on the TV just, I'm empathic and I'm just so open to it that it just bothers me. So I literally, when I turn on my computer, is the only time I get quote unquote the news. And if it's not in headline or somebody's not telling me about it, I generally am just not listening. So I have been watching, you know, as I've turned on my computer the last couple of days, the, you know, the Dow's up and down, and you know, I can feel around me and hear in conversations that when I'm out in public, you know, the fear of this money system. And so hearing that this is all in divine order in the way that you phrased it feels very affirming to me that we're on the right path and that this just really is what it's supposed to be. Because, of course, money is such a huge thing here in the United States. It's so many people identify with that as in their identity and who they are and what their worth is.
Right. And see, we have gotten into such, we've created this monetary system. The truth is that in the beginning, we had the infinite flow of God's abundance, and everything we needed was provided to sustain our physical bodies in the physical plane and in the state that we allegorically referred to as the Garden of Eden. But when we started creating this consciousness of separation and duality, we also created this consciousness of lack and scarcity. So we started reflecting our thoughts and feelings on the elemental kingdom, which started reflecting plagues and pestilence and famines and inclement weather conditions that really did start manifesting scarcity. And then our fear-based human ego, this fragmented part of us, it lost awareness of our God self, our I am presence. And just briefly, the beings of light have reiterated that for us to refer to the highest part of our divinity as our I am presence. And the reason for that is that, you know, when Moses spoke to the burning bush and said, "Who are you?" the response was, "I am that I am. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning. I am the ending." And when we say I am, it's a code word. I comes from Alpha, meaning the one or the beginning. Am comes from Omega, meaning the ending. And what that means is that God is all there is. So when we say I am, it is a code word that tunes us in directly to the source of our Father, Mother, God. And anything we say following that carries that vibration. So we start learning how counterproductive it is for us to be reiterating, I am poor, I am sick, I am anything negative, because it carries a frequency that manifests in our life. So we are, that's why positive affirmations are more effective and help shift our consciousness. But we lost consciousness of our I am presence. So our fragmented human ego started perceiving that the physical plane was all that exists and that our physical body was who we are. So it believes that its purpose and reason for being is to gratify the physical senses and whatever it needed to do, lie, cheat, steal, kill, to fulfill that gratification was appropriate. And we can see evidence of that throughout the planet at this time and specifically through the monetary system. Now, what's happening now is that the monetary system is based in greed and corruption in most instances, in this dog-eat-dog looking out for number one. For the idea that 1% of the population of the earth controls 95% of the money, where there are things like what's going on in Somalia now and the vast poverty and millions of people losing their homes and without health care and without food, is a sacrilege. And at this very moment, we have the technology that there should be not a single person on the planet that's hungry, not a single person without shelter or safety or health care or security or abundance. And the reason that there isn't is because of fear, it's because of the human ego, and it's because of greed and corruption. And when people start talking about the equitable distribution of wealth, they start immediately talking about communism and all of that corruption. Just a moment, I'm going to clear my throat. Excuse me. And when people talk about the equitable distribution of wealth, they're not talking about people that are working hard every day, giving their money to people that are sitting on the sofa eating bonbons and watching television. They're talking about, for instance, these huge corporations, for people to be paid that are making the corporation successful, and they are working for a pittance without health care and without enough money to even make ends meet, while the corporate CEOs are drawing hundreds of millions of dollars in salaries and bonuses, is not fair. The equal distribution should be that people that are making the corporation successful have decent salaries and have all of the comforts of life as well. And so anything that's based in this dog-eat-dog is going to crumble. It's not going to succeed. And what we've just experienced, like in 2008, the crumbling of the stock market, it was coming back, but it was coming back because of the subsidies that were given to banks, and all of the banks were restoring themselves and holding on to the money so that they could succeed. And everybody else was losing their homes because of this corruption and what was going on in the subprime and the securities and all of this absolute fraud that was existing on Wall Street. So what's going to happen is that we're going to keep failing in the monetary system until we shift into the realization of the oneness of life, that all life is intercreated, interdependent, and interrelated. And just for an encouraging thing, there's an incredible activity of light that's going on this summer that is moving humanity a quantum leap forward into that remembrance of the oneness of all life. When we, each and every one of us, know that within the recesses of the divinity of our heart, we know that there's no separation. We know that we can't harm one part of life without harming all life, that every thought, word, action, or feeling we express is either adding to the light of the world, affecting the whole of creation, or the shadows of the world, depending on what we're energizing it with. And everything we do to add to the light of the world enhances our life. Everything we do to detract from the light of the world hurts us and everybody else. So for us to be prejudiced, or for us to harm another part of life, or to be at war, or to be greedy, or to hurt people through money, or any of that, you know, even the corruption that's going on in the medical industry, in the drug industry, the greed, the corruption, and, you know, all of those things, it's affecting everybody. And it's gotten to be so pervasive that we accept it as normal. And it's not normal. It's totally conflicting with who we are and with the divine plan. So I'd like to talk a little bit, while we have some time, about what is going on at this very moment, because this affects all of us. And it is a global activity of light that is affecting every man, woman, and child on the planet. Every person's I Am presence is participating in this activity, whether the person consciously knows about it or not. And the reason for that is because we have reached a critical mass that has created this unstoppable shift that is taking place through the divinity in the hearts of every person.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Life happens when you do stuff out of your home.
Yes, it sure does. It sure does, and that's perfectly normal. So do you want me to go ahead and just talk a little bit about what's taking place this summer?
I do. Before you do that, though, I'd like to take give you an opportunity. Would you please let the listeners know the best way? Like, I know you have your own radio show. Could you give us a little bit of your contact information so that people could continue to follow your words of wisdom?
Sure. The best way to contact me is through my website, which is Era of Peace, E-R-A-O-F-P-E-A-C-E, one word, eraofpeace.org. And there it has information on how to contact the radio show. I do a radio show on BBS Radio on Tuesday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And it's an hour-long show with no commercials or anything, where I just share the information that's being given to us by the Company of Heaven. I have a free monthly email newsletter that I send out that you're welcome to sign up for. We have free webinars on the radio, I mean on the website. I do free seminars throughout the United States. And if you want to sign up on our email list, we'll email you and let you know when we're going to be in your area. And there's lots of articles, years worth of archives and articles and newsletters and things like that. The intent is to share these celestial sharings coming from the higher realms as freely as possible. And I've also produced books and tapes and DVDs and CDs that are available on the website as well. So you can go there and just explore and find anything out that you need to know. And you can also contact me by email on the website.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes, please do tell us what is going on this summer.
Okay, and just in a very brief place, I mean, we're talking about the return of the divine feminine and the balance of the love nature of God on the physical plane. And this, you know, there's all different interpretations of what this means, but the beings of light have shared, and I'll do this in a nutshell. I have the new book that I've written that I've been waiting 35 years to write until the mass consciousness of humanity was ready for this. It was timing, was divine timing for this. It's called Who Am I and Why Am I Here? And there's great detail about this process, but I'm going to just, in a very simple way, describe this to you. You know, we have believed, because we know that God is all there is, so we look at the outer world and say, okay, the duality of God is good and evil. God's created everything, so he's created the opposite polarity of everything that we know is good. So we think of peace and war, and we think of love and hate, and health and disease, and prosperity and poverty. But the beings of light have said that is the most destructive belief system that we can have at this time, because there isn't an electron of energy that comes forth from the heart of God that's less than perfection. And perfection is the harmony and balance and infinite joy of heaven on earth. And everything that conflicts with that, anything that involves pain and suffering of humanity, is a human miscreation. So these things that we've thought of as the opposite polarity are not the duality of God, but rather what humanity has created through the misuse of our thoughts, words, actions, and feelings, our creative faculties of thought and feeling, and our gift of free will. What the duality of God is, it is the masculine polarity of our Father God, the out-breath and activity, the radiant power of the masculine polarity of our Father God. And that's a sapphire blue radiance of divine will, power, and authority. And the in-breath of our Mother God, the feminine polarity, the increased in-breathed cohesive power of the great silence of divine love, adoration, and reverence for all life. So it is the in-breath and out-breath of our Father, Mother God. And in the beginning, our Father God, the reason it is said that Adam came first is because our Father God breathed out a cosmic tone that formed the matrix of whatever pattern is going to be created. So the matrix of the sons and daughters of God through the cosmic tone, that's where the statement, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is why it said that the male, or Adam, came first. Then our Mother God, the Divine Feminine, breathed a ray of light in-breathed a ray of light into the heart of the matrix, creating through divine love the cohesive power that magnetized the unformed primal light into the matrix and held it in that particular pattern. It would have been much more accurate to say that Eve came from Adam's heart rather than his rib. But Adam and Eve, of course, was an allegory describing in the simplest terms that we could understand this process of creation. And in the beginning, our Father God projected a ray of sapphire blue light that activated our left brain hemisphere, the rational logical mind of our left brain, and the power center of our throat, and then was anchored in the chalice of our heart, in the divinity of our heart, as a blue flame of divine power. Our Mother God activated the right brain, the creative intuitive mind, the pink radiance of divine love, and the heart center, the chakra center of divine love, and anchored as a magnificent pink flame of love within the chalice of our heart. These two flames, the perfect balance of our Father, Mother, God, then merged together into a magnificent violet flame that is known as the violet flame of God's infinite perfection. And this blazed up into our right and left brain hemispheres, and through the balance of our Father, Mother, God, it activated our spiritual brain centers, our pituitary, pineal, and hypothalamus glands, and the ganglionic centers at the base of our brain. Activating these brain centers awakened our crown chakra of enlightenment, birthing us into the full divine potential of a son or daughter of God, which is Christ consciousness and the momentum of the magnificent I Am presence. And that was a beautiful yellow-gold flame of enlightenment that was anchored within the chalice of our heart. This is truly what the Holy Trinity is. It's the masculine polarity of our Father God's power, the feminine polarity of our Mother God's love, and the sunshine yellow-gold flame of the Son and Daughter of God of enlightenment and Christ consciousness. This forms what is known as the immortal, victorious, threefold flame within our heart. Well, when we began misqualifying our gift of life through the choice we made, and there's a wonderful description of why this happened, but for right now, I'm just going to say there was a point in time when we began using our creative faculties of thought and feeling and our free will to create patterns that conflicted with the divine will and power and love of our Father, Mother, God. The original plan was that we would use our gifts of light to learn how to co-create new, previously unknown expressions of divinity so that we could become co-creators with our Father, Mother, God. But when we began misusing our gift of life, we started creating distorted patterns that manifested as hatred and anger and war and fear. And so we started experiencing pain and lack and limitation for the first time. So what happened, and this is critical because this is the reversal that is so important of what is going on right now, is that so we would not feel so much pain, we closed our heart center, which was the feeling nature of God. But what happened is that was the portal through which the love of our Mother God flowed into the physical plane. So we blocked the flow of the divine love nature of our Mother God in the physical plane. And she was forced to withdraw to a mere trickle of her divine potential. So our right brain became almost dormant, which it still is to this day, except that now it's beginning to awaken again. And our spiritual brain centers, our pituitary, pineal, and hypothalamus glands, closed and became atrophied so that our crown chakra of enlightenment closed. And when that happened, we cut off our communication, our open heart and mind telepathic communication with our I Am presence, with our Christ consciousness, and with the company of heaven. We were always supposed to have that guidance from the heavenly realms and be directly connected with our God self. So when that happened, we lost contact with the higher aspects of ourself. So we began creating this alter ego, this lower fragmented fear-based consciousness. And we started using our masculine power without the balance of love. And we just started accepting as normal of all things that as sons and daughters of God, we had a single parent, and that that parent was a male of all things. Well, what child is ever birthed without a mother? As above, so below, through all forms of life, there was always a feminine polarity, a mother that birthed the child into existence. So when we started using the masculine polarity of power without the balance of love, we started abusing our power. And when we were in male bodies, we abused our power by being aggressive and domineering. And when we were in female bodies, we abused our power by suppressing it and allowing ourselves to be dominated and oppressed. And we see evidence of this all over the planet to this very moment. So when we started referring to the Trinity, we had it totally as a patriarchal consciousness, as the masculine polarity of our Father God, the child of God being only the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit being a masculine aspect of our Father God. We knew the Holy Spirit was the love nature of God, the Holy Comforter, but we thought of it as being a masculine polarity of God. Now, what happened is that when we lost that awareness, we started creating this dog-eat-dog consciousness that we have been struggling with now for eons of time. And all of the world religions are important and valuable and have been waves of knowledge that have filtered into the consciousness of humanity. We were never supposed to take those world religions and crystallize them into divisive, separative religions. They were supposed to be waves of sacred knowledge, and when the next one came in, to build on that, and when the next one came in, to build on that. But we lost that, and we didn't do that. So what I'm going to talk about now is we're moving out of the Piscean age, the last age, into the new age of Aquarius. And in the Piscean age, this was the age 2,000 years ago when the next wave of knowledge came into the physical plane. And what happened at the inception of that age is that the company of heaven and our Father, Mother, God evaluated the greatest need of the hour for humanity to try to get us back on track, to try to awaken us to the return of the Mother God, the divine love nature of God, so that we could awaken our spiritual brain centers, open our crown chakra, and return to Christ consciousness. So it was determined that someone needed to come, a magnificent being of light, and anchor that archetype for humanity's return to the path of divine love and the return of Christ consciousness. So, as we know, the magnificent avatar of Jesus volunteered to come in and anchor that archetype. And the first thing that Jesus did after the 18 years of his research into the mystery schools in India and Egypt, the 18 lost years, is that he was to anchor the archetype for the return of our Mother God, the Divine Feminine. So he came to the Jordan River, the water element symbolizing the emotional strata of Earth. He entered the water element, and he was baptized by the Holy Spirit by John the Baptist. And we've all seen pictures of the dove of the Holy Spirit entering his crown chakra, and what occurred is it awakened his right brain hemisphere, awakened his spiritual brain center, opened his crown chakra, returning him to Christ consciousness. And that was the archetype for humanity's return. Then for the next 3 years, he demonstrated the potential of humanity's return to Christ consciousness. Now, we misunderstood some of that teaching, and we perceived that he did this for us. And he knew that that was going to happen, so he wanted to leave an archetype to prove and model, for one thing, the eternalness of the divinity within us, and that this is something we must do for ourselves. And he said those things. He said, these things I do, you shall do, and greater things than these shall you do. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye are sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with the Christ. But because we had fallen into such a fragmented consciousness of believing and being taught by the world religions that we were worthless sinners and worms in the dust, that we believed we were incapable of returning to Christ consciousness. So that to this very day, we're even being taught by some of the world's religions that it is blasphemous for us to believe that we are a child of God and can return to that divine consciousness. But actually, the exact opposite is true. The only thing that we can do is to follow the path that Jesus taught us to move us to Christ consciousness. So with, of course, the Da Vinci Code and things, it's talking about the divine feminine, and there's a lot of discussion about whether Jesus was actually crucified or not. And the beings of light have assured us that absolutely Jesus was crucified. But it was done for a very important reason, and not because we are such worthless sinners that he had to die for our sins because he had to suffer like that on our behalf because we're so worthless. But rather, he did that, and it needed to be dramatic. If he had died of in his room and resurrected his body, it would have had relatively little press. It needed to be a dramatic demonstration. And what he wanted to prove, to anchor the archetype for, is to prove to us that there is nothing that the lower human ego can manipulate us into, whether we are beaten or reviled or crucified or all of the abuse of power of the lower human ego, that there is nothing that the lower human ego can do that destroys the Christ, the divinity, the I Am presence within us. And so he went through that demonstration and resurrected his body. But he also wanted us to know that because he had done that and proved that, that this is a path of divine love that each of us needs to follow. So to create that archetype, during the 40 days after the resurrection, he sent forth his love and raised up the disciples so that they were in Christ consciousness. In other words, he held them through his own efforts into a state of Christ consciousness so that they could experience what it was like when he was holding them up. But the only way Christ consciousness is sustained is if we learn to do this for ourselves. So after his ascension, after 40 days, his light was removed so that the disciples could see what would happen to them if they did not do this on their own. And they began to falter and fail and become afraid. And within just 10 days, it became clear to them that they also must invoke the baptism of the Holy Spirit, open their heart to the return of the Divine Mother's love, to awaken their own Christ consciousness. So on the day that we refer to as Pentecost, the day of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples went into the upper rooms, which meant into their higher consciousness. They invoked our Mother God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by sacred fire, and with that influx of Holy Spirit within to them, the return of their divine feminine, the Mother God in each of them, they too were raised up into Christ consciousness. And we all see pictures of them with the crown, the flame coming out of their crown chakra. And it said that they were given the gift of tongues, and that's very different than what's being interpreted at this time. The gift of tongues was not just that they spoke an intelligible symbols and languages that were interpreted by someone else. The gift of tongues, which they absolutely were given because they needed to fulfill their divine mission, was that they were able to travel the face of the earth, communicating the path of divine love, the return of the Divine Mother through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the path of divine love in the language of the people that they were communicating with, so that there was no separation or block of ability to communicate through language barriers. So now we catapult ourselves forward to this time. Jesus knew that we were not going to fully understand his teachings at that moment. So what happened is that in Revelations, he said that not in that time, which was the Piscean age, the sixth solar aspect of deity, but he said in the day of the seventh angel, which is the Aquarian age, the seventh solar aspect of deity, in the day of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be fulfilled, and time will be no more. At the time of the second coming of the Christ, which he described would take place through the baptism of sacred fire, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the second coming of the Christ. Now that, again, has been misunderstood, and we are now moving into the full embrace of the age of Aquarius. All of this information that's coming from the higher realms is what he was referring to when he said the mystery of God will be fulfilled. We are moving into higher vibrations, into the fifth dimension, where time and space does not exist. This is a natural part of our evolutionary process. So now, just very briefly, what's happening at this very moment is that we went through an incredible shift. We reached this critical mass between the time of the lunar eclipse that took place on the December solstice and the solar eclipse that took place on January 4th, 2011. The light workers, awakened light workers, hundreds of thousands of light workers on the planet, in unison with the company of heaven, created a new planetary cause of divine love in the realms of cause. Now, for us to understand the magnitude of that, once something takes place in the realms of cause, nothing can prevent it from eventually manifesting in the physical plane of Earth, the world of effects. The only variable is how long that is going to take, and that is up to you and me and everybody else. So a divine plan has been set into motion, and incredible activities of light have taken place since that time, between December 21st, 2010, and January 4th, 2011. Tremendous influxes of light, and even these magnificent solar flares we're experiencing right at this moment, because of an opportunity that's going to take place during the 25th celebration of Harmonic Convergence, which took place in August of 1987. This will take place August 13th through 18th, this coming Saturday through Thursday, 2011. And through that, a global activity of light will take place where the planetary cause of divine love is going to be magnetized into the physical plane through the heart flame of every man, woman, and child. Now, the vehicle that's going to be used is the 25th World Congress on Illumination, and it's a gathering of light workers that will take place in Tucson, Arizona. And all of the information about that is on our website, and you can look at that. But this is a global event that has been going on for 25 years, every year in this rhythmic momentum. The Company of Heaven tells us the greatest need of the hour and what can be accomplished by humanity. There are millions of people all over the planet now, this building momentum for the past 25 years, that participate in this event. And this year, people tune in consciousness during that week for the entire week. So wherever you are, if you are hearing this information now, it's because you have been prepared for a very long time to participate in this activity of light. So however you want to join us, listen to your heart. You know exactly what to do, invoking the light of God, offering, asking your I Am Present to let you be the open door so that the new planetary cause of divine love will be secured in the physical plane through every heart flame. But the wonderful thing this year is we are being given an opportunity. We are going to do a live streaming of the opening and closing ceremonies, which are powerful activities of light that will be free for you to participate in and to join with on the internet. So I'm going to give you the code, the link right now. All you have to do is go in and register on here that you are going to be tuning in on this. It's absolutely free, and then you will be sent the link so that you can tune in with us. This will be from 7:30 to 9:30 Pacific Daylight Time on Saturday, August 13th, and then from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Thursday, August 18th. And you can go to the Converter. People all over the world, hundreds of thousands of people will tune in with us live, and then there will be an archive link, a replay link, where you can go in and tune in. We work in the eternal moment of now, so whenever during the week you're able to go and look at this opening and closing ceremonies, you will be weaving your light. And even if you're not able to do that, you can weave your light just by meditating and asking your God self to let you join in consciousness. The link that you go to is very simple. It's Healing with the Masters, with an S on the end, healingwiththemasters.com and a /World Congress. Now, we're setting up a link on our website. It should be there too. But just in case, just type into your browser healingwiththemasters.com/World Congress. And then it tells you exactly what you need to do to be able to get the information to connect with us at 7:30 from 7:30 to 9:30 this Saturday. And what will be taking place? This summer, there have been incredible increases of light. We had these magnificent, nothing's happening by accident. There's all of this celestial and global activity taking place to help us with this process. This is going to move us a quantum shift toward the consciousness of the oneness of all life, which is going to help shift all of this imbalance of monetary greed and war and even the inclement weather conditions and everything that are being perpetuated by this selfishness. But on June 1st, we had a new moon solar eclipse. On June 15th, we had a full moon lunar eclipse. On June 21st, we had the solstice. On July 1st, we had another new moon solar eclipse. On July 1st, we had the second new moon in July. And then there are several powerful activities and alignments that are taking place in August. And all of these powerful solar flares are helping to shift the vibration, break down the crystallization of all of this negative stuff that's being pushed to the surface so that we can clear the way for this tremendous influx of light. And during the opening ceremonies, we're going to have a powerful activity of purging and cleansing to prepare for the week so that each of us will be able to receive the maximum influx of the new planetary cause of divine love. And this cause is vibrating with all of the frequencies of reverence for life and the knowledge of our oneness. And it has within it the viable solutions for all of the maladies that have been created through our belief in duality and separation. Everything that conflicts with divine love is going to be coming into our consciousness so that we can know what to do about this. I mean, right now, as you know, I mean, even what we just went through with the global debt, as horrific and ridiculous as that was, raising the debt ceiling in the United States, those people in Congress are, you know, they were acting like two-year-olds, but each and every one of them believes beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're right. What's going on with the Taliban, with all of the corruption, everybody believes what they're doing is right because they're functioning from this illusion of separation and duality and dog-eat-dog consciousness. All of them are wrong, and all of that has to shift because it's only when we come together with the understanding that what affects one part of life affects all life, and as we enhance and bring prosperity and abundance to all life, we bring abundance to ourselves and peace to ourselves, and love to ourselves, and healing to ourselves, and everything else that's manifesting in that way. So I'll stop there. And I know that I just wanted, this is such important information, I wanted to get it all in, Lynn, so I hope it's not overkill.
No, actually, it's great information. I'm not even really sure where to go from that because it was just, my mind just went from one thing to another, and I didn't really hold in you know, any questions. I just needed
sure.
to.
Sure, okay.
I found that if I was going to try to do that, I would lose what you were saying, which was just not where I wanted to be. So, yeah. Wow. That was a lot of information. And to me, it was really, it was very clearly stated in that, it just really reassured me that everything that's going on the planet is exactly as it needed to, as it needs to be. And I don't, you know, part of me at one point wanted to ask, well, what will that look like? But I don't even have that desire, because it doesn't matter what it looks like on an outward manifestation. I guess the only question I'd have is for people that are listening, if you could just reiterate and just pull out again and highlight, what is it that people can do every day, or, you know, when they're feeling overwhelmed, to help support themselves and to help support the shift on the planet? If somebody turns, like myself, if I turn on the computer and I'm in a space where I lock into that fear that's on the computer, what is a key thing for me to do in that moment to release from that fear?
Okay, that's a perfect question. The most powerful thing happening now, the reason that it was said that in the seventh day, in the day of Aquarius, the violet flame, which is the perfect balance of the masculine and polarity of God, is the predominant energy flowing into the planet for the next 2,000-year cycle of Aquarius. And this is the energy that most effectively transmutes all the gunk coming to the surface back into light. It works as an atomic accelerator. So if you could see, like, poverty, like this tar-like substance cloaking the electronic light substance, the violet flame enters the core of purity and begins spinning that energy faster, and it's like casting this tar-like substance off of a propeller into the violet flame. It transmutes it back into light. So no matter what's happening negatively on the planet, if we just ask our I Am presence to flood this energy with the violet flame and transmute it back into light, it will help quickly clear this garbage. And what happens when that occurs is that then the I Am presence is able to get through to people, and they can get their head above the mud puddle of the pain and suffering of their life enough to then connect with their divinity, open their consciousness again to the connection with the beings of light in the realms of truth, and begin getting that guidance themselves again. So transmuting the negativity and then focusing on the light. You know, when you mentioned earlier about not focusing on the news, if you get caught up in the emotion of it, absolutely don't focus on the news. But if you can be detached and just use it as a detached bit of information to flood with the violet flame, you can greatly assist. For instance, if we didn't know there was an earthquake in Japan, or we didn't know there was starvation in Somalia, we wouldn't know to flood it with light, you know, and to flood it with a violet flame. So it helps to be informed, but then we need to focus on what we want rather than what we don't want. That is the key to empower the visions of the new heaven and the new earth. And we don't have to figure out every detail, but just see everybody solving the global problems, see everybody living in joy, see abundance flowing into everybody's life, everybody working toward the highest good for all concerned. What the difficult part is we're so locked into the maladies we've created, is that, for instance, everybody wants to heal disease and cure disease, but if your livelihood, if you are a doctor or associated with a drug company or insurance companies, the thought of no longer having a livelihood because those things are no longer existing is terrifying. You know, if everybody wants eternal peace, but if your whole life is built up in the military or in security or in the police or some kind of law enforcement, the thought is, what in the world will I do to... You know, so we have this catch-22 that we're creating for ourselves. On one level, of course, we're wanting that to shift. But on the other level, we're terrified we're not going to be able to put food on the table if we don't have our jobs. So we need to know that there will be this flow of abundance and incredibly wonderful new modalities and entrepreneurial things and things to heal the earth and things to create greater levels of joy and wonder, manifesting heaven on earth, that are going to open new things for abundance for us that we've never even dared to dream about because we've been so buried in the necessity of just surviving. So dare to dream. Create and envision magnificent, new, wonderful things you can do to open flows of abundance into your life for this win-win situation where you're giving these wonderful gifts to the world and you're receiving a flow of abundance as a result of that, instead of just out there fighting evil, which is what we've been basing the majority of our income in.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I love that you said there's so many new entrepreneurial things that are going to be birthing. It's interesting because, like I said, the news comes to me, you know, if I need to know it, it comes to me, somebody tells me about it, and I'll look it up. And someone was telling me that they were watching a morning program, I believe, and they were talking about how there's no security, no job security, and so they're finding more security in pursuing their heart desires and finding, you know, becoming entrepreneurs. And it's wonderful to hear that reaffirmed, you know, through mass media that, yes, pursue your heart. And here you're saying the same thing, because an entrepreneurial adventure is generally a pursuit of the heart.
Absolutely. And that was the original divine plan. Our covenant originally with God was that everything would be provided for us to sustain our physical bodies, all the air and food and everything we needed through the Garden of Eden. And our responsibility was to use our gift of life to add to the world, add to the light of the world. So what's happening now is we're using our gift of life to struggle from morning to night to pay for things God already gave us for free, food and shelter and clothing and that kind of thing. So we've created this stagnated place, and most of us don't have time to do this heart call of adding to the light of the world, filling our heart up. But that is the key to returning us to our flow of natural abundance. So more and more people are understanding that, and you're absolutely right. And we're going to do wonderful things that are also going to result in, you know, healing the pollution on the planet, transforming the maladies on Earth, awakening people to new levels of education and oneness, reveling in our diversities instead of being afraid and creating war and all of those kinds of things. So we are co-creating this new Earth. You know, there's all this talk about the shift of the ages and when the shifts are going to take in place, 2012, and we're in the midst of it right this moment. And whatever happens on December 21st, 2012, or October 28th, 2011, whatever day you're focusing in on, is going to be totally dependent on what you and I and everybody else on this planet co-creates between now and those dates. Nothing's going to just magically happen on those days, other than being greatly, what we've already created is going to be greatly expanded.
Mm. Well, that's very eloquently stated and just fantastic information. And I love the fact, you know, the Honoring Hour I created because I wanted people to be able to take that leap from that everyday rut and into their heart's desire. And I love that it just came back and culminated on that, that the show just really turned around and all of the magnificent information that you gave before with putting it together. I like to go back. That's the way my mind works. I like to go back and connect the dots and see, you know, how it trailed down and what the truth was. So this is like a favorite show of mine, absolutely, already.
Well, thank you very much, Lynn. It's such an exciting time. And as I said, this information is available to all of us. We're on the physical plane because we volunteered to come in and help fulfill this. And so we just need to remember and go within, quiet yourself, ask for the information, and then take the time to listen. And the floodgates of heaven will open to you because your I Am presence and the company of heaven are standing in readiness, awaiting the opportunity to guide and assist you in your life.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that you were just saying to go to the website healingwiththemasters.com/World Congress.
World Congress.
And, yes, World Congress. And join in on that this weekend. The 13th is Saturday, I believe.
Yes, it's Saturday. Yes. It's this coming weekend, and it's from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And just, you know, if you are anywhere else in the world, just go to Time Converter, Google it on the Internet, and you'll get a time conversion for your area if you don't know exactly what that is with Pacific time. And then again on Thursday morning, the 18th of August, from 9 till 12 noon Pacific time, is the closing ceremony, a very important, powerful time when all of this energy will be sealed within the heart flames of every person on the planet and within the heart of the Earth, in the center of the Earth, and then transmitted through the crystal grid system, which is the Earth's acupuncture meridian, so that it'll be available for all life on this planet, a new planetary cause of divine love that is going to be available with knowledge and information to help us shift into a new way of thinking, believing, acting, and interacting in our lives and with all life on this planet.
Right. Well, Patricia, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and agreeing to join us. I know that you're extremely busy, especially this week preparing for this conference that you're leading. And again, I just thank you so very much for being here.
Well, you're certainly welcome. It was my pleasure, Lynn.
Thank you so much. And to all of you out there listening, both today and in the future in the archives, I hope that you'll join us again on September 7th and that you'll enjoy other archives in the Honoring Hour. Have a great day.